So we see what King David did in that passage. He made a conscious effort. He made a conscious effort to tell his soul to remember God's goodness, not to forget God's blessings, God's benefits. Like we have heard in the testimony, it is natural with human beings to concentrate on some few things that God has yet to do in our lives. And we forget all the past things that God has done for us. For example, you've passed through the month of January. You are in the month of February. Every day that you sleep and wake up is a miracle. Do you believe me for that? Because there are some other people there, only that you don't have information, that have slept and could not wake up. There are some other people that have slept, and when they wake up, they experience complications. You've heard the testimony of our brothers who went to Nigeria in Africa, and he took ill. When I went through, I took ill. I am not used to taking drugs. My senior brother's wife said, "You must take this one. Don't die in our house." Praise God. So I have to take it. So, and thank God it worked. Amen. So every day that you have slept and wake up is a miracle. So you pass through January, you are in February. So you need to cast your mind back and thank God for all his benefit. Has God done something in somebody's life since January? Has God granted you provision? Has God granted you protection? Has God granted you healing? Has God granted you journey masters? Have God made you to be healthy and strong? Then lift your voices and bless his holy name. Lift your voice and say, "Lord, I thank you. I bless your name for all your goodness, for all your benefits. How you have redeemed my life from sickness, from destruction. How you have forgiven my iniquities. How you have satisfied my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, I thank you for the favor that you bestowed upon me. For uncommon provision. Father, I thank you. For my family, I thank you. For my spouse, for my children, I thank you. For my brothers and sisters in the flesh, I thank you. For my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I thank you. For all the people of God, Father, I thank you. I bless your name. For your glory upon our lives, we thank you. We appreciate you. For daily loading us with benefit, I thank you. We appreciate you, Almighty God. God of wonders, beyond the galaxy, you are holy,
you are holy,
holy Lord,
holy. The universe declares your majesty,
majesty Lord,
you are holy.
Thank you for revealing your presence in our midst, O God. We thank you for what you have in store to do in our life today. Blessed be your holy name. You said in Exodus chapter 20 that where you put your name, where you record your name, you will bless your people. You have recorded your name in this place. Father, I ask that you will release yours blessing upon your people today. In the name of Jesus. A special blessing. An uncommon blessing. A blessing that will make them to prosper this month. Release unto them in Jesus' name. Release unto us in Jesus' name. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Please, in his awesome presence. Welcome every one of us unto God's house, unto the house of God, unto our breakthrough church. We welcome all the newcomers. We are happy to have you here today, and we pray that the Lord will bless you. You will never remain the same again by virtue of your coming here in Jesus' name. We share briefly from the scriptures, then we go into dedication and thanksgiving. Amen. We've been told that on Friday we are going to have Vine Songs coming to minister to us. So please, if you have not got a flyer, try to collect one after the service for your information and to invite your friends after the service. I hope, Minister, you will make more copies available at the reception for those who want to invite their friends. Please, let's come punctually. The program starts by 6 p.m. prompt in this auditorium. And may God bless you as you come in Jesus' name. Vine Songs Ministry has had tremendous testimony of bringing healing and refreshing unto people by their ministrations. The multiracial, international, and experienced ministry, as we have had. They've ministered in all over the world, including United Nations and the Redemption Camp in Nigeria. So please, it's an opportunity to bless someone by inviting them to this program. They will really thank you for inviting them. And the admission is free. The music concert, as you have heard the deacon said, is a concert. So the admission is free. So you don't need to fear that they are coming to pay. But an offering will be collected for their ministry in the course of the program. A free will offering will be collected for the ministry in the course of the program. Praise God. Also, our annual workers' conference or retreat is coming up in May. And May, the last weekend in May. So all workers are expected to register towards it. Please, Minister Tony Ashiru will be giving you a leaflet towards the program so that you know a bit of information and also what you need to do. Let's look briefly at the Word of God. This morning I will be sharing on its time to build a new altar. It's time to build a new altar. This is period whereby we are fasting and praying. So it is quite apt or timely to talk brief about altars. When we are fasting and praying, we need to make sure that our altar is alive so that we can reap the benefits of the fasting. In Exodus chapter 20, let's look at verses 22 to 26. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Chapter 20. I take it from verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. May this month, may God talk to you from heaven. In the name of Jesus. You shall not make, verse 23, you shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of art you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Amen. So you've come to the house of God where God has recorded his name. This place is hallowed, consecrated, dedicated unto the Lord. Therefore, I want to assure you this afternoon that the Lord will bless you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Verse 25, and if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of inkstone. For if you use your tool on it, you shall profane it. Nor shall you go up by step to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Amen. So we concentrate on the altar in verse 24 today, and God helping us, we talk more on these subsequent verses in another meeting. So generally when we are talking about altars, we are talking about a place of worship. Like this place you find yourself is a place of worship, is an altar unto the Lord. In fact, when you come to the house of God, when you appear in this front and you are praying, you know. I don't know about you that you are in a place that is consecrated unto God. You discover that you experience a different kinds of scenario in your prayer, a different kinds of encounter with the Lord. That you will see when you are at home or when you are somewhere else. That's my own. You find that you have more strength, more grace to pray. I mean to be in God's presence than when you are at home. That's my own encounter. Praise God. Because this place is dedicated to the Lord. 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week, we are praying here. So anybody can come here at any time to pray. That's the only thing we are doing in this place. It is not meant for anything else. It is an altar unto the Lord, a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place of contact with God, a place of memorial. When you want to remember about God, you can come here, a place of memorial, a place of remembrance of things that pertains unto God, your exploit with God, where God reveal himself to you. That is what is called altar. An altar is a place where the human beings meet with the Almighty God, the divine, or with a deity or a god. Because some other people, they build altar unto an other god, which is not the God that we are serving. So it is still an altar. It is a place they also make contact with other powers apart from the powers of the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So in this particular passage, after the children of Israel have encountered God, they raise an altar according to God's instruction unto the Lord as a memorial that here they have encountered the Lord, here they have received the laws and the commandment from the Lord, here they have made agreement with the Lord to serve him and worship him and their descendants throughout their generations. So altar is very important. You can see God in himself said, in this place that I record my name, I will come and bless you. You remember Psalm 133 verse 3, Psalm 133 verse 3, the Bible says, in Mount Zion, there God commanded blessings. God commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Where did God command blessing? In Mount Zion. In Mount Zion is a place which contains the ark of God, the tabernacle of God, the tent of God. It is a place where David built his stronghold because he was a worshiper of God. Mount Zion connotes where God dwells. So the Bible says in that verse 3 of Psalm 133 that there God commanded blessings. God commanded life. God commanded healing. God commanded deliverance. God commanded favor. God commanded revelations on the altar on Mount Zion. Praise God. So when you come to an altar, whether it is a corporate altar like this, a big altar like this, or a personal altar, it is a place where you make contact with the Almighty God. So it's very important. Altar is very important because it is there that you receive from the Almighty God, the supernatural God, blessings of a lifetime, blessings that can change your situation, blessings that can change your story, blessings that can change your circumstance. Praise God. And I do believe, God, as we are gathered together unto the Lord in this corporate altar, you will receive special blessing from God in Jesus' name. So, altar is a place of memorial. It's a place of contact with the Almighty God. It's a place of blessing. In Genesis chapter 8, you discover that immediately that Noah built an altar unto God, immediately that Noah raised an altar unto God, the Bible says that God smelled the aroma of the sacrifice on the altar. I can immediately say that your sacrifices these days is not the kind of sacrifice that Noah offered there. Noah offered animals. Your sacrifices include the offerings that you gave unto the Lord. Your sacrifices include your praising God, your worshiping God. Some people, they think it is when the word of God is going forth that they are getting blessed. No, right from the beginning of the service, God is showing himself. You are making contact with the divine. He's already releasing his blessing to his people. His angels are in position to release blessings to his people. You can't see them because if they should open your eyes and you should see them, you'll be terrified. But the angels, they are around us distributing blessings to the people of God. Praise God. So when you are praising God, when you enter into the house of God, you need to take it seriously. When you are worshiping God, take it seriously because you won't know when the angels is coming to bring your blessings and what kind of frame of mind or action it will find you in. So in Genesis chapter 8, the Bible tells us in verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. May your sacrifice today be accepted unto the Lord. Amen. May it provoke God to bless you. Amen. May you provoke God to meet you at the point of your very need. Amen. May you provoke God to favor you. Amen. May you provoke God to open doors unto you. Amen. Where there seems to be no way. In the name of Jesus. So for Noah, when the Lord smelled his sacrifice and accepted his sacrifice, the Bible says the Lord then spoke that I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil in his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Verse 1 of chapter 9. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the heart. By virtue of God's blessing, I lift my hands to bless you as well. In the name of Jesus, be blessed of the Lord. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the heart. Be fruitful in your body. Be fruitful in your businesses. Be fruitful in your finances. Be fruitful in your academics. Be fruitful in your jobs. Multiply and fill the heart in the name of Jesus. Verse 2 says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth. No longer shall you fear any other thing except the Almighty God. No human being, no animal will be able to terrify you again in the name of Jesus. But the fear of you will be upon them. The fear of you will be upon your enemies. The fear of you will be upon the animals in the name of Jesus. Then if we go to verse 12, the altar, the sacrifice he put on the altar also provoked God to enter into a wonderful covenant with Noah. Verse 12 says, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living thing that is with you for perpetual generation. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord said there is someone here that is ordained to die this year. The Lord said by virtue of your being here this morning, that death over your head has been canceled. Thank you, Jesus. I set a rainbow, my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign, verse 13, of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. Excuse me, please. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all the flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Praise God. So God, through that covenant, assured Noah that by virtue of what he did, he will not destroy the earth again with water. If there is a flood at all, it will be located to a special area. But for God to say that he will use the water to destroy all the earth, God said, that will be no more. Because immediately it is raining, he said, God said, I will put a sign as a token of the covenant upon the sky that I promise that I will not destroy the earth with water anymore. Praise God. So if someone says that a flood is coming that will destroy the whole earth, it's not possible. Because God has covenanted with Noah that he will never destroy the world again with flood. Hallelujah. So we see the power of the altar in that place. When we go further to Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says that Abraham also built altar unto the Lord. When you look at verse 6, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. Verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Praise God. He built in those days they built a structure, a physical structure unto the Lord as a memorial of their encounter with the Lord. Any other encounter will be related to the first encounter they had with the Lord. So you can see that he built an altar at a plain and then moved to another location, to a mountain. And when he encountered the Lord again, he built an altar. So an altar is a place where you commune with the Almighty God, where you talk with God. As a believer in this dispensation, It's a place you prepare for yourself to be meeting with God. As we have consecrated this place unto the Lord to be meeting with God, it can be a place in your house, maybe your bedroom, maybe your study room, maybe your prayer room. It might even be in your sitting room or in your kitchen, but you have agreed with the Lord that you will be meeting him at that particular location. And what will you be doing? You'll be offering sacrifice unto God in songs, in worship, in prayers. It can be just sitting down in his presence. You just sit down and you are looking through the word of God like that. It doesn't mean God has to come with a special audible voice to speak to you. At times, he does like that, but he doesn't do it again in this dispensation because he has now given us the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in your life. And when you relate with that Holy Spirit, he will be speaking unto you in a gentle manner, like you are conversing with somebody close by. So if you are gentle enough, the Holy Spirit will be conversing with you, communicating with you. And he has also provided us his word. You can just sit down, you can just walk, and you are reading the word of God. And God can be talking to you through his word. It's different from when you are not born again to when you are born again. Because God, you will know, and you know that God is talking to you through his word as you are reading it. When you read Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 10 today about God's promises concerning you, when you give your tithe, when you give your offering, another day, he will minister to you in a different manner because there is something different that the Holy Spirit wants you to pick up through the word of God. Praise God. So, especially this season, this period when we are fasting and praying, God expects you to build altar unto him. Spend time, build your personal relationship with God. I think you are talking a bit about that also in Sunday school. So it seems the Spirit is one. So you build a relationship with God, a new relationship with God. Some of us, we've forgotten our Bible for some time. In fact, it's only when we are coming to church that we remember to pick our Bible. Praise God. Some people are smiling. They know I'm talking to them. No, God expects you to hold your Bible with you every day, to have some time whereby you read the word of God, you pray. In fact, reading the word of God will provide you the ingredient that you will need in the place of prayer. God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So whenever the people of the Old Testament build an altar unto the Lord, it is a memorial. It is important to them to confirm their encounter with the Almighty God. So when you look at the journey of the children of Israel, you discover certain things that happened to them before they started to realize that they need to be building altar unto the Lord. They discover that things are not moving the way it's supposed to be moving because they don't have that personal altar they were building unto the Lord. If we look through Exodus chapter 12, when God delivered them from 430 years of slavery, they rejoice and they move on. That's the first major miracle that God did for them in Exodus 12. Let's just take some few verses there because of our time. Verse 36, Exodus 12, verse 36. The Bible says, "And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians." Praise God. There was a wealth transfer in that passage from the Egyptians unto the Israelites, unto the Jews. In a single day, the children of Israel moved from poverty to prosperity. They moved from poverty to their wealthy place. And I do believe someone here today, the Lord will deliver you from many years of financial slavery. Amen. All that accrue to you that you have been denied, the Lord will bring them back unto you. Amen. There shall be restoration. Amen. Suddenly, you will move from poverty to prosperity. Suddenly, you will move from that suffering to a wealthy place. It shall be so in the name of Jesus. They plundered the Egyptian. There was a transfer of wealth. I mean, raise your two hands to God and say, Father, Father, as you transfer wealth to the Israelites from the Egyptians that do not know you, this very year, in a supernatural way, transfer wealth from those that do not know you onto my hands. Transfer businesses onto my hands in the name of Jesus. I ask for it and I receive it. I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then if you go further in that passage to verses 41 and 42, another exploit of the Lord there. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generation. Praise God. Raise your two hands to heaven again and say, Father, you deliver your people from a long-term slavery. Today, by the same token, deliver me from every long-term problem, from every long-term challenge of my life. Today, in Jesus' name, amen. God suddenly, the Bible says, in the same day, all of a sudden delivered them from 430 years of slavery by supernatural intervention. This year, God will supernaturally intervene in your life. I say God will supernaturally intervene in your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That's one major miracle that God did. It was a crowning miracle to all the initial miracle to ensure their deliverance. Miracle of the locusts coming to afflict the Egyptian. Miracle of the Moses rod swallowing up every other rod. Different kinds of miracle. Miracle of the firstborn of the Egyptian dying. But this was the crowning miracle. God, in a single day, delivered his people from 430 years of slavery. And that is why you must not go give up your hope in God. You must not give up your hope in God. Tell your neighbor, don't give up your hope in God. The God of Israel is still alive. He remains the same. Amen. The second major miracle that you will observe that God did for his people is that he parted the Red Sea. He did what? He parted the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, 28 to 31, the Bible says that before the very eyes of the people of God, God took them through the Red Sea. The Red Sea represents an obstacle to their destiny, to getting to their land of promise. They saw the Red Sea as an obstacle before them. They couldn't cross the Red Sea. Behind them was the enemy pursuing them. They were in a kind of fix. But God, in his own supernatural way, caused that Red Sea for the first time to dry up. The water became a wall on the left and on the right. And the people of God were able to pass through a dry land onto the other side. Their enemy, trying to pass through the same place, was swallowed up. The same place that his people passed through. Hallelujah. It was a special miracle unto the people of God. Therefore, I decree in the name of the Lord, whatever represents Red Sea or a barrier between you and your destiny, the Lord will part them for you today. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord will part it for you today. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The third exploit of the Lord in the life of the children of Israel that you will discover, and yet they didn't build an altar unto the Lord, is that he changed the water they were drinking. He changed it, the bitter water, unto the sweet water. In same Exodus chapter 15, after they have celebrated their deliverance from the children of Israel, another problem came up. The fact that you experience a miracle today does not mean you will not have a challenge the next time. Each level has its own challenge. When you are brought to a new level, there is a new challenge that is attendant to that new level. In verse 22 of the same Exodus 15, the Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And that became an ordinance for them, where God tested them. Hallelujah. God, by his servant, recognized the solution, and the bitter water was turned around to sweet water for them, for drinkable water for them. Therefore, I pronounce anything that seems bitter in your life this season, as you build altar unto the Lord will turn it around. Amen. Unto sweet water for you. Amen. He will turn it around. Amen. Unto sweet water for you. Amen. He did it for the children of Israel. And you remember in John chapter 2, at the wedding of the Cana of wedding at the Cana of what? The wedding at Cana of Galilee, yes. He did the same thing. He turned ordinary water unto sweet wine for the people, for his people. Amen. So you can believe God also that there will be a miraculous intervention, and God will turn that thing which is sorrowful unto sweetness for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let somebody say, anything that is sorrowful in my life, anything that is bitter, by the power of God, be turned around unto sweetness for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. The fourth thing that God did that was like a memorial, and they couldn't build an altar unto the Lord, is when you go downwards in the same passage, the Bible says that they got to a land of rest, a place of rest. Verse 27, then they came to Helim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they come there by the waters. May you enter into your resting place this year. Amen. May you enter into your wells this year. Amen. May you enter into a place of security this year. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That was a fourth miracle that God did for his people. They were able to enter into a temporary rest at Elim. Number five, in Exodus chapter 16, they discovered that all their food has run dry. They didn't have food again to eat. Their supply has finished. In Exodus chapter 16, they cried again unto Moses. And the Bible says that God supernaturally provided food for them. God provided manna from heaven and quails by a special wind. God blew meat onto their land to provide food for them. The quails were coming in the evening, and the manna were dropping in the ground for them in the morning. Manna in the morning, quails in the evening. Hallelujah. To take care of their feeding requirement. God supernaturally provided food for them. God is a God of supply. God is a God of provision. Like Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So supernaturally in Exodus chapter 16, verses 33 to 35, God provided for his people. And it also became a memorial. So you too can trust God that the Lord that provided for his people, he provided manna for them and quails for them, that he will also provide for you. You don't need to look at the amount of your need, but look at the bigness of your God. Look at the bigness of God that provided food for his people in the wilderness where there was no plantation at all, where tree didn't grow at all. There God provided for his people in a hard place. So may God supernaturally meet your need this season in the name of Jesus. May the God of Israel provide for you specially this season in the name of Jesus. Number 5 also talks about God's uncommon provision. In Exodus chapter 17, when they got to Rephidim, the Bible says they lack water again. They lack water again. In their promise to in their journey to the promised land, they got to another place according to the leading of God. But that place, there was no water for them in the wilderness. They became very thirsty, nearly fainting and nearly dying, until God supernaturally provided water for them out of the rock. You know, rock is on the top of the mountain. Normally, you should find water in the valley, as they normally say that water finds its level. But at that top of the mountain, where you could never imagine there would be provision, God brought out a miraculous provision of water for his people. May God miraculously provide for you from uncommon, unexpected quarters in Jesus' name. Now the 7th point where we are getting to. In Exodus chapter 17, they got to a place where they encounters the Amalekites. Exodus chapter 17. And they were to face the battle of their life. After they were delivered from slavery, this was the first time they had to face a battle. They had to face their enemies. In Exodus chapter 17, the Bible tells us that verse 8, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with the Amalekite. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Let's jump to verse 13 because of time. So Joshua defeated the Amalekites and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. That's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Let somebody shout Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. So in that place, they built an altar. They begin to encounter God in a new way. They built an altar to show that they've encountered God that is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord that is their banner, the Lord that is their victory. From that day, they believe there is no battle of life they cannot fight and win, because they know that they've built an altar unto the Lord. There is a memorial that the Lord that defeated the Amalekites is able to defeat any other people on their behalf. In Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, the Bible talking about this God, which you need to have faith in as well. When you have faith in him, when you know him, you can be assured that there is no battle of life that you cannot fight and win. And I decree that from now onwards, whatever battle of life you come to fight with, you are going to win in the name of Jesus. There shall be victory for you in the name of Jesus. Jehovah Nissi will give you victory in the name of Jesus. Psalm 24 verse 7 tells us, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Let somebody say, my Lord is strong and mighty. My Lord is mighty in battle. That's the God that is sorry. He said, lift up your head, O ye gate, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's the God that you are serving. That's the God upon our altar. So the question this morning as we go to praise that, what altar are you building? Is it God's altar or demonic altar? It's only God's altar that can fetch you blessings, that can fetch you joy, peace, and fulfillment in life. And I do trust God that as you renew your altar, as you repair your altar, that you begin to experience God in a new dimension in the name of Jesus. Next week, we'll be able to look at how you can build this altar unto the Lord. I want you to briefly talk to God that, Father, I renew my altar with you today. I repair the broken altar in my private life, in my family. I repair the broken altar. Let it be repaired, O God, so that I can begin to enjoy your blessings in a new dimension. Let's talk to God. From all the stories we have read, we see that this pertains to the children of God. God come to their help because they are his children. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to invite him today so that God can recognize you when you are praying. You will say, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my past sins. I will follow you from today. I will obey you from today. You can quickly talk to God as I round up in prayers. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, as many as have said yes to you this afternoon, Father, have mercy and forgive them. Amen. Accept them as your children. Let their names be written in the book of life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that by virtue of your anointing that there will be revival in the life of your people. In their private altars, in their family altars, let there be revival in the name of Jesus. As they repair the broken altar, let your fire begin to consume their altar in the name of Jesus. Let them begin to experience your blessings, your grace, your favor upon their life in a new dimension in the name of Jesus. When they call upon your name, begin to answer them by fire in the name of Jesus. Begin to answer them speedily in the name of Jesus. Begin to confirm that you remain the same, that you, the God of Israel, you are still the same today. You still answer the prayer of your people. Let it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give him praise. Amen. So we call the family dedicating their child forward, the Okegbenro family. Where is Mrs. Okegbenro? God bless you. Can we have your baby quickly? So give us a song. So let's present the baby to the Lord. Okay, you can sing.
Oh Lord, I am very, very grateful for all you have done for me. Oh Lord, I am very, very grateful. I am saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord.
Oh Lord, I am very, very grateful for all you have done for me. Oh Lord, I am very, very grateful. I am saying thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.